The anti-Bush press makes terrorism.
Their interests are not your interests. Their truth is not your truth. The corporations have their media. Now we have ours. The Progressive Podcast Network. Now we are the media. Listen to your media. Take your country back. Go to progressivepodcastnetwork.org. The Progressive Podcast Network. progressivepodcastnetwork.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
I'm Dave Kinzer. It's 6 past the hour here on the Progressive Podcast Network. This is Watch It Burn. Oh, doesn't that take you back, some of y'all? Man, well, it's been a while since then, and it's been a while since the last time I recorded, so first order of business, of course, is apologies to everybody out there in podcast land that has been missing my particular brand of insanity here. I've been quite busy settling into the new place, getting a job, getting laid off, going to guard drills, getting a new computer, getting a new microphone, putting all this stuff together, and so I guess the first order of business there, the apologies are taken care of, and now the second order of business, of course, is the thanks to everybody who's been supportive and stood by and is waiting patiently, very, very patiently, I have to say, and just want to thank all of you for your continued support. And, well, that said, there's not really a lot to talk about as far as, well, not really a lot that I can think to talk about right now. There's just so much going on, I don't know where to start. At this point, I have gone to 2 guard drills and spent the first one and half of the second one testing radios, which is my new job is going to be a communications guy, which I trained for back in 99 when I came back in the Army and graduated top of the class, but unfortunately I never got the MOS awarded to me because I did not get a security clearance. I was out of school for about 4 months when I found out that they had not even started the investigation to renew my old clearance. So I kind of gave up on that because I was tired of being away from my family. And since it's been that long and I never got to work in the MOS, I have to go back to school for retraining. Which means at some point in the near future, I will be going back to Georgia for 17 weeks. Which I don't know when. And I would really like to know because I've been laid off from work, and I want to know if I should go ahead and look for another job or if I should just try to keep the unemployment until I can, you know, until I leave. So it's just a real hassle waiting to try to figure out when I can do this. And, of course, the fact that it's taking forever to be able to do the security clearance request form because of the they're changing the system by which they do that. So there's no telling when the hell I'm going to be able to leaving out of here. Ugh, what a hassle. What a freaking hassle, I tell you. It's always something or other with the Army, even with the National Guard, but I have to say I'm pretty pleased with my unit. Everybody seems pretty cool. I don't work at the actual Armory in Eugene. I work out of the shop in Springfield, which is not a bad thing. It's pretty cool, actually, because we're away from the rest of the company and kind of get left alone. But for testing the radios, though, I was over at the Armory the whole time because that's where they store them. And so I was in a little supply cage with another guy for 2.5 days, and then for 3 days. And then the fourth day, I went over to the supply cage first thing in the morning and tested the last couple radios we had. The other guy and our squad leader, they were up in Salem for some official stuff that had to be done to update their readiness files and stuff, so I was pretty much left alone on my own. Got done with that, went back to the shop there and helped work on a truck. which was kind of a pain in the ass. I didn't like it because, not because of the work itself, but because there wasn't much really for me to do except stand around and hand people tools, because there were three actual qualified mechanics working underneath the truck. So I was kind of the tool runner, which is not a big deal. I mean, at least I was doing something. So I felt gainfully employed, but less employed than I could have been. Well, not really much else to say about that, except that just kind of getting into the groove here, waiting for my school date, enjoying my unit, and kind of just seeing what's going to happen next. And Morgana, she is doing very well at her job. She's pretty happy with it, except, you know, now and then she had a bum day, but, you know, she hadn't worked in, like 10 years, pretty much. So it's, you know, taking her a little bit to get back in the swing of things, but she's having a good time for the most part. Just, you know, it doesn't feel well now and then. It's kind of a problem, but hey, that's, you know, just the way it goes with everything. And she's kind of concerned about when I'm going to be going back, because then we have to find childcare for our youngest because he's not at school yet. And we had, when I was working, our schedule worked pretty well because I worked graveyards. I would be home before she had to go to work, and then she would be home before I had to go to work, so we always had somebody here with the boy. But that's going to be a little tricky at first, you know, getting used to the new routine and trying to pay for childcare for him until I get back. And then it's going to be, you know, pretty good amount of time. So mostly I've been spending my time, well, just trying to get ready to do this again and hanging out in the mornings with my little guy. And, watching a lot of Adult Swim that I TiVo. Well, I don't have a TiVo, I have a DVR, but, you know, same damn thing. Watching a lot of Olbermann and Metalocalypse and Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Futurama and various other stuff that's on there. You know, Moral Oral, of course. That's the, anybody who knows me or has listened to this or read my blog would probably be able to reasonably guess that that would be one of my favorite shows. But that said, I think I'll just go right into the first musical break here, which is, of course, the theme from Metalocalypse, the one of the best shows, I think. Being as I am, you know, a punk rock and death metal guy from way back, I really appreciate the humor of this show.
Dancing is forbidden.
Watch It Burn is brought to you by
Thompson's Teeth, the only teeth strong enough to eat other teeth.
They told us we'd be welcomed as troops of liberation. Once again they lied. We got shot at every day. Everywhere we went, a bunch of my buddies died. A rocket launcher hit my tank, started up a fire, blew my legs right off of me. Now you're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. I went back to Michigan. They put some plastic on my stumps and sent me on my way. Now I roll on down the city streets looking at the people as they turn their eyes away. Down at the burn, they were talking about the government, how it's all a ruse. And I get a little madder every time I see the president smirking on the evening news.
Of course, everybody's heard by now about the bullshit going on at Walter Reed, and I'm sure anybody who's listened to this podcast can expect that I am, of course, truly fucking pissed. This is just such bullshit we are seeing time and time again with this goddamn administration. They just fucking can't do enough to go out of their way to say, support the troops, we support our troops. Yeah, they fucking love us until we're out of uniform. They love us until we're used up, then we're just fucking trash. It's bullshit, they don't really fucking support us, we all know that. You can tell just by looking at what they fucking do to us and what they do supposedly for us. Oh, my God. You have fuckers like Mitch McConnell in Kentucky just fighting tooth and nail, pretty much, to keep from having any kind of regulation on payday loan places, which, if you've ever been near a military base, we are their prime prey. They love us because they know that we get paid shit. We have a live-for-today attitude because we might not live past today, so a lot of us don't think past that paycheck, so they know they can fucking snag us. And I've seen people paying outrageous fucking interest rates. I mean, interest rates in excess of 20%, 30% on a frickin' loan for 2 weeks. It's just god-awful, ridiculous bullshit. And, of course, it's a fucking Republican that's fighting against this shit. Surprise, surprise. I'm sure there are others, but he is, like, the main one leading the charge to make sure that these people that prey on soldiers can continue to prey on soldiers. And it's just symptomatic of this entire right-wing culture of hypocrisy and disrespect for anyone with genuine courage and genuine love of their country and genuine service. Because so many of those fuckers, when it was their time, when they had their chance, they opted out, they found a way out, they hid behind something, whether legitimate or not. If it was legitimate 9 times out of 10, they stretched it as far as they could. If it wasn't, well, that kind of goes without saying. Whether it be a boil on your ass or any of 5 reasons not to go, they just don't, they're not people as such. They're freaking humanoid hyenas that live by hijacking the labors of others. They live by stealing, in this case, stealing glory and honor and all that from those who genuinely earn it. And it's, I don't know, it's fucking sickening. And I've got no fucking use for these people. And now, my new favorite fun thing to do is, on drill weekends, when I'm actually in uniform, when I'm driving to or from the armory, excuse me, to or from the shop, if I see a vehicle that has a Bush Cheney sticker and a Support Our Troops sticker, I go out of my way, while in uniform, to be an asshole to them. I make sure they can see that I'm in uniform, and I follow them way too close. Or I come up on them real fast, whip around them, and cut them off. I just, because, I don't know, something about it, I just want, you know, these people to start thinking, you know, hey, wait a minute, maybe our troops are dicks. Because, quite frankly, I don't want their kind supporting me. Anybody who is so willfully ignorant, or just outright fucking stupid, that they buy this administration's fucking line about supporting the troops, honestly, I don't want to even shake their fucking hand. I covered this before in an early rant in the podcast about, you know, the flag-waving fucking chicken-shit goose-stepper crowd that, you know, that's like the old L7 line, you know, wave those flags high in the air as long as it takes place over there. I don't know. I've got no use for them. And, quite frankly, it's people like that who just blindly say that they support us and believe the bullshit that the administration supports us that allow shit like Walter Reed to happen. My brothers and sisters who sacrificed any chance of ever having a normal life again were just thrown aside. Basically just kept, I don't know, like trash, just pushed to one side and just ignored for the most part. And how the fuck hypocrisy. That's all it is. It's a fucking hypocrisy. And it's just, I'm at a loss for words for what more to say about it. But, my God, I want to take a bat to some motherfuckers over this. Spin! Yes, I am.
You're an absolute ass.
Well, yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Welcome back to Watch It Burn. And for those of you who thought that we were a good team, you might rethink it after this.
Oh, yeah.
Things have been a little stressful as we start our new lives here and might come through on some of these podcasts now.
Yeah. Yeah. Despite the, I think some of the more interesting fireworks I'll leave in if they happen.
Great, just lovely. What? Nothing.
Hey, they loved when they heard all the jets taking off and the helicopters going over, so what's a little bit of, conflict?
Domestic
here?
War?
Yeah, conflict here at home.
Yeah, War of the Roses.
That's there.
Whatever.
Yeah, we've already spiked a beat here. Let me turn the input down a little bit. I'll adjust that better in the mix. All right.
So anyway, this is Morgana Kinzer, unfortunate wife of Dave Kinzer.
And I'm Dave Kinzer.
Oh, you're a dork. Anyway, we're back, and things have been kind of very, very busy, and sorry it's been so long since the last podcast.
I've already made my apologies at the beginning of the show, so.
Okay, well then I'll let that go. Anyway, the rundown, what's been going on? Well, the drive cross country wasn't bad.
No, not really.
Kids were great.
It got kind of hairy for a short stretch in Wyoming, but.
The loving snow.
Yeah, but then once we stopped for the night at one of the hotels, we were all right.
But we did quite well. I was really impressed because we drove the 10-plus hours each day. We stopped and slept each night.
Yeah.
Ate decently.
Yeah, it worked pretty well, actually. Mm-hmm. It was a good trip.
Stayed completely within budget.
Yep, so definitely.
It was good. And then we stayed about a month at my mom's house. Whatever.
Oh, I like them, but it was just, I don't know, it's like walking on eggshells, you know?
Well, it's just because Ben's four, and they're not used to being around a little kid.
Yeah.
But I thought it went really, really well. I was very fortunate that, they were very generous. They never asked us for anything other than to help contribute in groceries.
Yeah.
So we were very lucky.
Well, and then I helped Sandy clean the gutters and stuff like that and picking up the yard.
Yeah, I made you.
Make me. You just asked if I would.
And then I threw the guilt trip on him, because that's what a wife does very well.
Very well.
Other than that, so, landed jobs quick.
Yeah, for as long as that lasted.
Well, for you. For me, no. I actually got a job. I work at Pentagon Federal Credit Union.
I mentioned that in the earlier segment.
They're a really good place to work for.
Yeah. You're happy there. I like that.
Yeah. I am.
Makes my life easier.
I have a good time talking to a lot of our retired vets that are our members. I enjoy them very much. I like the place, and I just can't wait to get the meat in my career going. I'm just starting off.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have the house now.
Mm-hmm.
And we lucked out. We found actually an affordable house to rent.
Yep.
Unlike our friends that are paying $1,200 a month for a three-bedroom.
And I've got an announcement number finally to take a postal exam.
So.
Which looks good, because that would pretty much be just double what I was making at the last place.
What I'd like to see us do now is start joining some of these organizations that,
Like the Iraq Vets Against War and mm-hmm. Veterans for Peace.
I think we need to.
IVAW mm-hmm. and VFP.org, respectively.
So. So things are going good. Jack's school's good.
Mm-hmm.
He got to play with his little laptop that they let him bring home.
Yeah, he gets a MacBook in school, and they let him bring it home. It's awesome. I love that damn thing. Yeah, but our new desktop is pretty cool, other than it running Vista so far, which is, it's an all right operating system, but, it's new, so everything is,
it's
pretty. The bubble screensaver is just beautiful.
We like it because it's pretty.
I just like our new monitor.
Oh, I love the monitor. What I hate
22-inch widescreen
is nothing wants to talk with Vista. It's just, I hate
having
to wait.
Well, it's just because it's so new.
I don't care. They actually set out a beta version of Vista a year ago for people, or a test one, so other companies can start the plugs.
Right.
And the patches, and then when Vista finally released, they released a little bit different system, so nobody has anything but Microsoft for stuff that really truly works with Vista.
And it'll be another month before there's an update for our damn printer, scanner, all-in-one document center.
Unless we buy a new one.
No. Ours works fine.
I'm not planning on buying. I'm being frugal now. I spent way too much money on the yard.
And?
What? The trampoline?
On the yard, no, on the yard and?
Okay.
The fish tank.
The fish tank.
Our aquarium.
You know, and that's funny. This is, I love this story. Okay. I have a fish tank. I like the fish tank. I think it's very therapeutic. Dave didn't really want to do much with the fish tank because he's like, yeah, it's going to cost more electricity and water and stuff like that. Didn't want anything to do with it.
Plus just set up fees and buying all the equipment
so,
and the food. And
being a wife, if I know how to manipulate my husband, because all wives,
long
years. All wives know how to manipulate their husbands. Or at least they try
the
to.
The experienced one too.
And so
the effective
I just know that all I need to do is seed a plant of interest and he will help me out. So I was like, you know, didn't you say you like cichlids? Would you help me out just a little bit and go online and research cichlids?
Years ago, the coolest roommate I have ever had an African cichlid tank in our barracks room, and I fell in love with them. Just, they're not, you know, the most flashy fish or anything appearance-wise, though they are really pretty, and you can find some really beautiful ones. But the behavior is what I love because they are just so active.
I have heard this story many a times about Craig and the cichlids and everything. I have heard that story so many times. Knowing
if you're listening,
this,
Craig, love you, buddy.
Knowing this, I decided to use this information to be like, hey, will you look up cichlids? Big mistake. The tank is no longer mine.
That bitch in the ass, didn't it?
Yeah. Then, yeah, what did you do? The very next day, go out and spend a couple $100 on the setup of the tank. Yeah, that definitely bit me in the ass.
Yeah. I had originally wanted a tank in the Yukon community, but I got the fish itch real bad. And while we were at a store, and there were some beautiful, beautiful Malawis there, so I went ahead and just grabbed them. But I do have my Burchardis, two Burchardis, and we have your tank in Yukon eel.
I like eels. And the previous
awesome.
Tank I had a couple different types of eel or fish that were very similar to eels. So when we started off with the cichlid tank, I was like, well, they're all just basically the same shape fish, just different colors. How boring. It's like buying the same shirt, but in different colors, and you still have the same shirt.
Yeah,
so when I saw this eel...
Shirts don't attack each other and chase each other all around the tank.
I don't know, your shirt? Oh my goodness, they stand up on their own because you are just...
No, because you're slacking and not doing the laundry off enough.
Okay, at home.
Okay, yeah, Lord. Mr. Dad or Mr. Mom here needs to...
Somewhat of a Mr. Mom. Home. Anyway, so I saw this eel, and I really liked this eel, and I was making fun of my husband because he loved one of these expensive fish. I thought he did, and he ended up not taking anything expensive. And I was always making fun of how he wanted all these $80 fish. And
yeah, but
turns
out $80 when they're adults.
Turns out I'm the one with the $80 fish because it was the only eel, and I wanted an eel, so I end up justifying
$81 eel.
Yeah,
but I got my $40 Al Nicaro with him.
Which looks just like your other one, but anyway.
But bigger.
Oh,
and brighter.
And in 2 weeks.
Okay, so he's got a split caudal fin now, and a split anal fin, and a torn dorsal fin, and one of his pectoral fins has got a slash in it. But it's not my fault that the Burchardis are breeding and are aggressively defending their territory, which is the tank.
So this is how sad our life has become, where we sit here and talk about fish. So that's the basic synopsis of what's been going on.
Just a summary there, and I tell you, man, I love that tank. It's just, we've got a really good setup going.
So we have a home, I have a job, you're working on that, and I guess now that everybody's been updated, we can start going into political or annoyance type talk.
Yeah, we can talk about dumb people we see and...
I want to bitch about how the military took 2 freaking months to finally give you your final pay.
Yeah.
I don't know any other employer that would take that long.
Yeah, that's true. And how they said you get taxed at a rate of 25% on my separation pay, and yet out of 25 grand, they took 10 grand for taxes.
Well,
which I'm happy with,
because
actually I think some of us states. So yeah, anyway, I think that's all right then.
We managed to pay off a lot of debt, so it's not like, you know, I'm thankful for that. But what I just don't understand is, you know, any other job that you quit at, or you stop, then you usually get that final paycheck.
Within 2 weeks, yeah.
And this was 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I just don't understand why the government can get away with that.
I'm not even sure they paid me everything. I'm supposed to still.
No, they paid you, but what bothers me is that you have people that are leaving the military, and then if they have to wait 2 months for a final paycheck, is this why a lot of them are ending up on the streets homeless?
You know, it might be the case.
Because didn't you see a young homeless guy?
Yeah, dude, well, he looked homeless. I mean, you know, you can kind of tell sometimes. And he was wearing our brand new type of uniform pants, ACUs. So, you know, he could quite possibly have been a homeless vet in his early 20s.
Well, if you get paid at the beginning of the month and you don't receive the next paycheck.
Crap in my throat.
If you don't receive a paycheck for 2 months, and it usually takes a few weeks before you can start a job, I mean, the military really makes it extremely inconvenient and almost impossible to leave it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's so easy to start it up.
Yeah.
So there is a delay in that first paycheck, but usually they at least start housing you and feeding you.
Yep.
You know,
and
but
you can
when
get
you
an
go
advance
to,
on that.
But when you go to leave the military, they're
can't
like...
Can't get an advance on your final pay.
No. They don't want to help you.
All right, we're both coughing a little bit too much, so we're going to go ahead and take a break here.
This is a public service announcement. Quit your tongue!
I know something that I've been wanting you to discuss,
mm-hmm.
and I think is really important, and I think people should understand. Even though you might not have seen some of the direct conflict over in Iraq, you've seen enough where it has changed who you are forever. And the adjustments that you're making now from being a military person into being a civilian again has not really been that easy for you.
Well, I think a lot of it. Personally, I think most of it is actually the fact that I was on active duty for 10 years, and a lot of it is kind of culture shock type of thing, readjustment, almost like institutionalized.
No, because you see, you got out before, and...
Right, but that was only 3 years in.
It doesn't matter. This time it's 6 years in.
And seven, I understand. Actually.
Well, I understand that it's longer, but there is a huge difference in your personality, and a lot of it, I think, has to do with what the tours in Iraq did to you. You have anger issues now. You never had them before. You were never an argumentative person before. I mean...
I never stood up for myself.
I like you standing up for yourself. Don't get me wrong. I think you should do more of that. However, what I don't like
just
is...
Just not to you.
No, like when we're driving in the car and, you know, the slightest little thing gets you upset and you're like, oh, great, and you want to give it up. You throw your hands in the air saying that just... freaking figures. And it's a nothing situation, but you get so upset and so tense so easily. And you're not comfortable driving.
I do okay driving. I'm not comfortable when you're driving.
No.
Or when I'm driving with you guys in the car.
Well, you told me about that time.
I just...
You don't want to talk about it.
Nah, not
you don't
in this
want to
forum.
Talk about it.
Not in a public forum like this. That's
why not?
Because that really is something for us. And if I end up needing a therapist type of thing.
Yeah, but isn't this part of
your
people
officially.
Need to know? I mean, even though you don't understand how important it is for you to discuss how hard it is for you to transform into being a normal person after what you went through. And I think that you need
the biggest part of the problem for me was the fact that it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any actual sudden traumatic things. It was just a general elevated stress level for such a long period of time is basically what I've been told is the source of my problems, my sleep problems, and...
Why are you going by what people tell you?
Well, Because that's the best description of what I was.
What you're trying
to
do is downplay how you are right now and how you feel right
now. Nothing really major happened to me. That's what I'm saying is, it was pretty much just an elevated level of stress for a long period of time. There were a couple scary moments.
You got shot at, Dave.
Yeah, there were a couple scary moments like that. But it's not. That part was not a continual battering of my psyche.
Yes, actually, being shot at is something that would.
Yeah, but that wasn't a recurring thing over and over.
So because it wasn't recurring, you have no reason or no. You're telling me that you're not allowed to be upset because it wasn't a reoccurring thing. Because it only happened one thing, you should be stronger than that and not
let upset. Well, no, it's not like that. It's just that there are guys that are a lot more fucked up than me that went through a lot more shit.
And I think they are the priority. Yourself. What about you? What about
Yeah, but
right
see,
now?
Those guys are the priority, I think, because they
Why can't you be
have
a priority to yourself?
Because my problems aren't as bad as theirs.
Do you want it to become as bad as theirs?
Well, no.
But why does it? Why do you have to compare? Why can't you see yourself as an individual person with your own experience having a hard time adapting?
Well, I mean, I do, but it just, it's not...
Do you feel guilty that you didn't have to get shot at a daily basis?
You know, deep down, because I used to be infantry, part of me really does think that, you know, I know what those guys go through, and I didn't have shit to deal with compared to them, so...
So you're comparing yourself, and so you're belittling how you feel right now because it's not...
I'm not belittling how I feel. I'm basically putting it into context. I'm putting it into context because so many others had it so much worse. Really far worse. And it's not a matter of comparison, it's a matter of perspective.
You know, and I feel bad for people who had it worse.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why you can't deal with what happened to you.
Because nothing really big happened to me.
You don't get it. You don't get it. When you come home with the shakes because of a minor incident, and you sit here and you tell me it's not a big deal because I didn't have to deal with the same things that everybody else dealt. You have to understand what you dealt with was still important.
Well, see, I'm functional. That's the thing. I can work through.
You're not going to be functional much longer if you don't work through what you did go through. You're shutting down.
I'm not shutting down. I'm thinking. I don't know. You know, it's...
I care about you, and I know that you're fortunate because some of the other people, nobody really cares about and lets them go. And this isn't, you know, fortunately, I think for the soldiers today, they don't have to deal with some of the abuse that the Vietnam veterans had to deal with.
Yeah,
and I know you don't like to consider yourself a veteran. You got upset because people at Walmart came up to you and said, thank you for your service, and you got upset because you didn't want them thanking you for your service.
Yeah, I shouldn't have worn that shirt.
Then why did you get that shirt? Why did you get the shirt saying, been there, done that, that you were an Iraq vet? Why would you get that shirt wear it in public if you didn't?
It's subconsciously, it's one of those I'm cooler than you badges. You know?
So you are proud?
Well,
you were proud of being a soldier.
You know what I want to get that's even better?
Oh, no.
I really want to get a bumper sticker made that says, just another liberal Iraq vet.
Why not?
Because I just haven't got around to drawing it up.
Isn't part of your podcast to educate people?
To let
them know what your experience is? Isn't that what Hunker in the Bunker was all about?
Actually, the main part of anybody's podcast, I think, the basic premise of it is, please pay attention to me.
Okay, then.
You know, it's an ego thing, really. But, I mean, I know... I mean, just the list of the symptoms I've had. I mean, I got sleep problems. I've got the anger problems. I've got just feeling detached. And yeah, I've been plenty of times when I've not actually wanted to die, but just not cared if I lived anymore because I'm just, you know, eh. But that's also when I have the long stretches where I only get about 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night.
Do you feel like that you can't identify with the people around you? And I'm not talking about your family.
To an extent, oh yeah. Plenty of times I've been, when I was actually still working for the 6 weeks before they freaking laid me off, plenty of times on break I'd be sitting there, you know, bullshitting with the people I was working with, and I would just keep thinking to myself, these people really don't know a fucking thing about life. And... I had that feeling a lot after I got out of the infantry because, well, I go from the infantry to be managing an apartment complex full of college students away from home for the first time. So there is quite a bit of difference. Yeah, those people, you don't know shit about life.
What I'm saying right now is that you used to be a guy who used to like to go to a pub who used to like going to the movies. You like to do some things. You were never a big crowd person.
Neighborhood barbecues were fine.
Right.
Like that.
But now you're not. Now it's like if I wanted even maybe one friend, one of your friends, Tony. Tony wanted to come over. That's cool. You can handle Tony.
Yeah, I don't mind Tony or
but
family.
For the most part, though, you don't want anybody around.
Yeah.
You don't want to be around. I want to be able to have a normal life, take the kids to the zoo, go to the coast, you know, go hiking and stuff. And it's like you absolutely loathe the idea of leaving the house.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like being around people. I don't like, they just bug me anymore.
That's not how you always work.
Not individually. Individually, I can talk to just about anybody, but groups of people just bug the shit out of me.
You weren't this bad before.
No. I mean, I was antisocial, but I was social. Meaning I didn't,
you were always social. You're a great guy to be around.
I should say that I didn't have a lot of faith in people in general.
That's fine. But,
I still was able to
hang
out.
You and I were able to take the bus anywhere. We were able to go places.
Yeah.
You know, and
go to John Henry's or
Max's
or.
I'm worried about the introvert. You're not an introvert. You're an extrovert. You're a very gregarious, smart guy. And I like it that you're so smart. And I like it that you're so witty. But that guy is starting to slip away.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen. And that has a lot to do.
The thing that's really gets me is the fact that I really don't care if that person, that part of me goes away. The only thing that bothers me about it is the fact that it bothers you. And I kind of really only want to go back to the way I was because you want me back the way I was.
I want you happy.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I want you to do this, because this is something that brings you out of your shell.
Well, I don't know if it's partly because of the way I've changed or if I've always just felt that, or not always felt, but I'm having trouble figuring out if it's just that I'm becoming this way because I've changed from my experiences or because I'm getting older.
Well, there's always a combination of those things.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if I just...
Now, you honestly thought about running for politics.
Oh, I was definitely planning on running for office.
Okay, how can you do that if you don't even want to get out of your house?
Internet write-in campaign. But no, I know what you're saying. And, you know, I don't plan on doing a political thing anymore because I don't want you guys exposed. I know you guys wouldn't want to be.
All right, you're not using me as an excuse. I am not your scapegoat.
I'm not trying to escape with you. Would you want to be a candidate's wife?
I don't think you'd last very long in the political arena.
Well, no, I have a tendency to say things like, that's bullshit. And so nobody would ever see me on TV and, you know, TV elects you.
I would like you to continue your education and do something with political commentary and perhaps do speaking engagements.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something you want to do, is to educate people.
You know, I still have to freaking make that call to that agency. I was going to be calling a talent agency here in town who represents voice actors and see about trying to get gigs doing that. And I thought that'd be kind of an interesting little supplemental thing here and there and get my face out there.
Your voice is so sexy.
And my voice is good. I've been told all the time I have a good voice for radio, which I take to mean I don't have a good face for television.
And that's very true. I married you for your personality.
Yeah. You that's like, all I got going.
Well, you didn't marry me for my hourglass figure. You can stop that. You can stop now. I know. I totally set that one up. And I accept that.
Can I say it, please, for the people out in podcast land?
Oh,
I so badly want to say your 6-hour glass figure.
Oh.
I kid because I love to fuck with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever.
But anyway, I still have to call that talent agency because I figure if I get that, where I have my voice known out there, and I get some experience speaking like that, and have this podcast kind of as a resume, and go ahead and go to school for the journalism degree, then I could get all of that lined up, and eventually, maybe someday,
have
my radio
show.
What
you need to do is deal with your issues, get off your ass.
I wonder if, like a lot of comedians who don't want to get therapy and treatment because they think that would kind of take away their edge,
I wonder if I would be better on the air.
What freaking edge? You play with your MySpace page. Which, yes, we both now have MySpace.
Oh, yeah, we finally caved.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I had one for quite a while just so I could comment on Mark Maron's. And now, finally, enough of my buddies found me on there and added me to their friends list that I said, screw it, I'm going to use it. And plus, it's a damn good way for me to get music because all the bands on there, I am putting out a call. If you know any bands, any politically motivated punk rock and or hip-hop acts or even a comedian that does a lot of political stuff that wants to get exposure, have them send me MP3s of their stuff to dave@watchitburn.org. with the subject line of submission, and then their name and the name of the piece, and I will play it, and it will get good exposure. 18 countries, 36 U.S. states. So that's why I use MySpace now primarily, because I'm trying to get bands to send me MP3s I can play in their entirety, and make this more like a real radio show, so I can act all grown up.
Growed up?
Yeah.
Growed up?
Yep.
And I finally got a MySpace page just because he has a MySpace page. And actually, I have some friends that kept bugging me to get one so we can all, I guess, stay in touch. Of course, you know, I still have my blog at 360, Random Mexicana.
Mm-hmm. And I, of course, still have watchitburn.org. A supplemental podcast, or a supplemental reader for a podcast with delusions.
But I need friends because I feel pretty pathetic that I don't have hardly any friends because I just started this thing and I just, so anybody who wants to be my friend.
So once I put out that call for bands, within 4 days, I got 30 more friends. Just by asking bands.
Yours is easier to find, right?
Yeah, it's just myspace.com/godlesskinzer.
Okay, and then from his you can find mine, because mine's my name, but there's like how many people with my name?
Oh, geez, there's hundreds that are calling themselves Morgana on there as their display name. But with her, you can find her on my friends. She is right after the famous people.
Yeah, oh, shit.
No, I put the famous people first so I look cooler, yeah. And then family.
Yeah, well, then I snag a couple of your famous people. Stephen Colbert is my friend. My friend.
That's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Thanks for your support and your patience. And if you'd like to contact us, it's dave@watchitburn.org. If you'd like to make a donation to support this fine program, you can do so by going to watchitburn.org and looking down the left sidebar. If you know any punk bands, hip-hop acts, or comedians who'd like to have their stuff played here, go ahead and tell them about me. Please don't try to use the toll-free number for a while as it's being used for other purposes. So until next time, take care of each other and watch your six. And here's something for a new friend who means a great deal to me, and I owe a lot for helping me work through some of my problems.